I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You can see that Matt Arnold's sitting in for Jesse. Jesse's out in Tyler, Texas. I just did a show with Bishop Strickland, and Jesse was here with us, and he's welcoming Jesse into his diocese to power preach. So birds of the feather flocking together. Matt Arnold, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Thanks for filling in today.
Well, thanks for having me, Terry. Always a pleasure. And just a quick reminder, when this show's over, my show starts.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. Now, we've got a lot to talk about before we actually get to the good news of Jesus and the gospel and a Fulton Sheen thing, but we're going to talk about the COVID-19, part of China's stealth war against the United States. A U.S. retired general of the United States Air Force is telling about that, and I think he's spot on. Also, I'm going to talk about the evidence emerging that COVID tests are faulty. And this is kind of interesting because we've heard about people, you know, going and making an appointment at the CVS store and right, saying, I'm going to get the COVID test. And then they don't show up. And then about 2 days later, they get a notice, you've tested positive.
Right. Yeah.
So there's some funny business going on, you think? And then I want to also just highlight French High Court orders government to change rules capping the attendance at the public worship to 30 people. In other words, religious freedom's being pushed back even in France. And so I thought that was interesting. Some uplifting story. This really moved me, Matt. Five Louisiana priests who died in 1873, there was a pandemic, now they're considered for sainthood. And these priests are just got a beautiful testimony of how they were able to deal with the pandemic. And I have to say they were heroic, obviously.
Yeah.
And so much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show we're going to be covering. But the most important thing that we cover is the gospel. And why? Because that's what gets you to heaven, by implementing what Jesus Christ taught in the Holy Bible and also living out the faith, hope, and charity virtues. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, we do so much on catechisms with Bishop Strickland, apologetics with Gary Machuda, the Bar of History with Dr. Ed Mazza, and Matt Arnold, Happy Hour. I know it's called, what is not called?
No-nonsense.
No-nonsense Catholicism. All of this is geared with one point, to help you get to heaven, to have a better relationship with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Matt, could you be so good to read the gospel of today?
Absolutely. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Mm-hmm. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, seven baskets full. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, these stories of miracles, I want to get into this because you did a DVD called Miracles of Jesus for St. Joe Communications. I'm holding one copy right here in my hand. And I want to give that away. If people can make a donation, like a year-end donation, I want to say thank you, but it's not necessary. But if the only way you can get that DVD, it's a one-hour DVD, great Christmas gift to give to some kids or even adults, because you go through all these miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? How the walking on the water relates to the Holy Eucharist. What a connection there. Mm-hmm. What the healing of the leper reveals about confession. You see, you tie them into the sacraments. It's a very good catechetical video, and I want to encourage people to call 877-526-2151. It's the only way you can get it right now is call 877-526-2151. Matt, what's your take on this gospel?
Well, of course, there's two parts to it. We get the context of him for 3 days performing miracles of healing. And then after 3 days, and of course, Terry, I know that you're probably only too familiar with that kind of bizarre modern interpretation that suggests that there was no miracle of the loaves and fishes,
right?
That people actually had food with them, and that the miracle was that Jesus got them to share with each other.
Generosity, right.
Yeah. Now, the problem with that, of course, in the context, he tells you it's been 3 days. So if they did have, if they brought lunch with them, it's gone by now. That's kind of the whole point of it.
Of course.
Right? But also, to put it in the context of these miracles of healing, this miracle where he feeds the 5,000 or the 4,000, whichever it is in this particular one. I think this is a... The second of the miracles of the feeding. But the point is simply this, that it is a type and a sign. It's a true miracle, and it's a type and a sign of the Holy Eucharist, which is an even greater miracle, that Jesus himself comes to us under the appearance of bread and wine, comes to us body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, which is made explicit, of course, in John's Gospel, because the crowd follows him to the synagogue at Capernaum the next day and says, repeat the miracle. And he's going, yeah, this is my paraphrase, but he basically says, look, you don't get it.
Right.
And then he says, I'm the bread of life. You know, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life, and then I'll raise them on the last day. That whole long discourse of John chapter 6, where he is very explicit about the real presence in the Eucharist. But the other thing that I wanted to mention, though, is the physical healings.
Sure.
Because, again, they are a type or a fulfillment of a type from the Old Testament. All of those things were prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming up this Sunday, I'm going to be talking about this on my program later in more detail, in the extraordinary form, at least, the gospel for next Sunday is where John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus to ask if he's the one that they've been expecting, or should we expect another? Now, John wasn't confused. He knew very well who Jesus was. This is the same John the Baptist who saw his cousin Jesus on the shores of the River Jordan and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's not confused about Jesus' identity, but what he wants is for his disciples to hear it from his own lips. And what does he say? They come to him, they ask the question, are you the one who was prophesied, or should we expect another? And he says, tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the poor have the good news preached to them.
Yes.
Right? Because he's saying, look, yes, I'm fulfilling all those prophecies, which, of course, to wrap this up, is the point of the miracles in the first place.
That's
Why
right.
did he do the miracles? In the ancient world, people didn't carry an American Express card. Okay?
So nope.
How do you know who Jesus is? Well, he says at one point in the gospel, if you don't believe me, believe the miracles.
Yep.
Right? And even a Nicodemus, who comes to him in the night to learn about the miracle of baptism, says to him, we know that God's with you, because if not, you couldn't do the miracles. You couldn't do the things that you were doing.
Right.
If God was not with you.
Matt, I think it's beautiful. And again, years ago, when you did this DVD, The Miracles of Jesus, it really touched a lot of people. And I want to encourage people to call our toll-free number to get the DVD. It will change your life in the sense of seeing how these miracles of Jesus touched people. And it's about an hour-long video. And if you could give us a donation, that would be great. We're at the end of the year right now, and I'll just make a little pitch before we get to the end of the break here, and that is year-end donations. If people, we really appreciate every year people who say, you know what, I'm going to write a big check. It's the end of the year. It's in we're here in December, last month of the year. You can do that by calling 877-526-2151 or go onto our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And what I will encourage you to do is, if you need more than one copy, I'm happy to do that. Maybe you have two or three kids, grandchildren, that you want to influence them, I hope you do, or having a love for Jesus Christ. Well, these miracles, they'll never forget them. I mean, people know all, even people who aren't even practicing say, oh, yeah, I've heard about that miracle, the bread, where Jesus multiplied, you know, the bread. But this is so important for us to know the miracles of Jesus, because that's one of the things that separates him from other leaders of religion. Not that he just resurrected from the dead. Yes, that's a big miracle yet. But that he did all these miracles. And it's an amazing DVD, so I want to encourage you to get that. 877-526-2151.
Right. Hey, Terry, just to reiterate again, you can make a year-end donation through any of the ways. Yeah. You can do it through Patreon. You can hit the donate button. But if you want the DVD, that's a special offer. You got to call the office.
Yeah, you got to call the office. It's the only way to do it. 877-526-2151. Also, don't forget, on Tuesdays, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland on. It's our latest show. And he is probably the most outspoken Catholic bishop in the country. And he is part of Virgin Most Powerful. So when you support our mission, it's not just Terry and Jesse or Matt, but we have the most outspoken bishop in the country teaming up with Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I don't know of any other ministry of radio who's doing that, Matt. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a unique position here, and I want to encourage our listeners to support us.
Take advantage of that, too. Yep. Listen to that program. It's really valuable.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk about COVID-19. It's big on everybody's list. It's part of China's stealth war against the United States. A retired USAF Air Force general gives us some information on this. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out in Texas, in Tyler, so Matt Arnold is sitting in. I wanted to remind everybody, before we get to Bishop Sheen, that there's a Monsignor Richard Soman who's currently suffering from COVID-19. Now, he was a big promoter of the cause of Fulton J. Sheen, and so I'd like to ask us to pray for him, and I'll do that right now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And why do I bring that up? Is because we continue to take Bishop Sheen's writings here at Virgin Most Powerful, and we're going to do that in a minute. But I want to give you a good news story. You know, a attitude of gratitude is welcome just about everywhere. The gentleman named James Phillips, he was a Walmart greeter. 5 years ago, he made the news because when you would leave Walmart, he would say, have a blessed day.
Mm.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time. He's just the kind of talkative type guy, and he just likes to see everybody. So it was a great job. But one person complained to the office manager at Walmart and said, hey, I'm offended. So they told him he can't do it anymore. Well, the customers at Walmart were so upset that he couldn't say, have a blessed day. They sent letters, and they inundated the store manager with phone calls. And within 24 hours after he made that bad decision not to let him do that, they reversed it.
Yeah.
And here's the point I'm making. The point I'm making is it's a gentleman who's got this attitude of gratitude life. You know, have a blessed day. You know, take care. See you next time. Here, James Phillips was doing that for years, and one person complains, and they're going to stop it. So this tells me that many times we Christians, we people of goodwill, we have to be boisterous ourselves. We have to respond like they did and told the manager, no, no, that's not offensive. As a matter of fact, we come to buy our material here because we love having him here. As a matter of fact, if you notice, people from all around the state are coming here just to hear him because of the news media that was on your station or on local stations around here and around the country. So the point of it is, God rest his soul also, because he just passed away on Wednesday.
Aww.
And I think he has quite a legacy to leave at Walmart, saying, "Have a blessed day." Well, James Phillips, have a blessed eternity, please God.
Yes, eternal light shine upon him.
And let the perpetual light shine upon him is right. May he rest in peace.
Amen.
All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. We just talked about Monsignor. That's Fulton J. Sheen. Can we bring him in, Mr. Engineer, on that choo-choo train? Well, it's running slow this holiday season.
Here it comes.
Oh, it's coming.
No, it's not coming.
All right, thank you, Matt. All right, well, here's what Bishop Sheen, full Sheen ahead without the Amen. Missile or not. He said this. Hey, there it is. Pulse. This train's really running slow today, man. We have a good time here.
Well, you know, we are amongst the walking wounded. You know, it's like I can see. I like that you still have a smile on your face, but yeah. I know that.
Yeah, I'm a little sick.
Richie, too. And
yeah. We're all hanging in there. Okay, here's what Bishop Sheen said. And this relates to us today in our culture in 2020, even inside the church, I have to say, Matt. Mm-hmm. Bishop Sheen says, almost everyone today wants religion, but everyone wants a religion that does not cost too much. That is why Christianity has been watered down to suit the modern mind. Matt, he nailed it. This is 2020. How many people want to change the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church? And they're in the church, and some of them are in high officials in the church. And I say to Bishop Sheen, right on, Bishop Sheen, this is our challenge right now, to stick to those perennial teachings. And this is something that I know I hit on a lot, Matt, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, we're not in management, we're in sales, but we continue at Virgin Most Powerful to take the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the perennial teachings of the church, and say, this is what Holy Mother teaches. If a bishop or cardinal, whoever in the church, teaches something contrary, that doesn't change the perennial teachings of the church. So I want to reiterate that, Matt, because I don't know about you. I know you teach RCIA in a mm-hmm. parish in Orange County, and I imagine they're not coming to that RCIA program to hear about your personal opinion about Christianity. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement, yeah. They're there to find out what the church teaches, and I'm there to supply that. You know, and the thing is, I take that seriously, Terry.
Because yeah, I bet. You should.
You know, to be a certified teacher, to be a catechist within the diocese, that's a share in the bishop's primary role as teacher.
That's right.
You know, and our good Lord said, be not many of you teachers, mm-hmm. right? Because you're going to be held to an account for
that's right.
for what you teach. And so that's, you know, I take that as seriously as a heart attack, as they say. Well, and I wish that everybody in the church that is in a position to influence people would do likewise.
Well said. Now I'm going to jump right into our topic today, COVID-19, part of China's stealth war against the United States. A retired United States Air Force general, his name is General Robert Spalding, he's making a statement on this and saying, think about this. The Chinese Communist Party views the United States as its main adversary. I've seen that in writing for years. Not because of its nuclear arms that we have, but because we have a constitution designed to separate powers in the United States to ensure no one person, group, or party can gain ultimate power, and to recognize that the highest form of tyranny in the world is totalitarianism. Mm-hmm. He pointed out, now, Matt, here's the kicker on this. I'm a little under the weather, can you tell?
I can tell.
But here's what I want to say. Atheistic communism in China has the view that every one size fits all.
Right.
That you obey the man who's in charge in China. You say anything bad, we kill you. Now, in the United States, this freedom is a threatening thing, because if people get the idea that freedom is available to them, they're not going to be too good of a citizen in China. So I think the Chinese fear that Chinese people will someday awaken to their potential of their humanity as defined by our Declaration of Independence. They're watching some of our movies. They're, you know, some of the good historic movies about the United States, and they're going, wait a minute. How is this happening where the people actually can have freedom? And I think that what they're doing, and this is my take, and I'll let you give your take on it, that the idea of closing down the economy to a point where China's economy will outdo the U.S. economy because they're still working. Mm-hmm. And so how do we stop the United States without firing a shot? Well, we get COVID-19 in there and tell them that, you know, bring fear into the United States where people are so scared they'll do whatever the government says or whatever big governments say and not go to work and really cause havoc so that the changes can take place where we lose more freedoms. That's my take from this general's article.
Well, you know, this is a long article. There's a lot here. It was on LifeSite News, and it was largely based on a transcript of an interview that was conducted within the context of something that was put up by our friend Patrick Coffin.
Right.
Right. He had a like a virtual conference of some sort of on these topics, and so you can go to LifeSite News and read about it, and the links and stuff are there. If you want to see the original thing and get it kind of from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Right.
The thing is, he brings up so many things that it's, you know, it's impossible in a single segment of this radio program to address them all. But it brought things to my mind reading over it. And one of them, do you remember Yves DuPont?
Oh, yeah.
That name now? Yves DuPont is a French Catholic, and he did a great deal of research into Catholic prophecy, the prophecies of various saints and blesseds over the centuries. I mean, going all the way back to the early days of the church and into maybe the 19th century. And, you know, he's wrote a couple of books on it. He wrote books about the prophecy of St. Malachy. He wrote books about the Fatima and so forth. And one of the things that, of course, Our Lady of Fatima said is that, you know, that she wanted the Pope to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. She wanted Catholics everywhere to pray the rosary and reparation and so forth. And, of course, you know, we know that efforts in that regard have been, I don't want to be overly, lacking is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, the fervor's not been there.
The question is, did the Pope do that and do Catholics everywhere pray the rosary universally?
No.
The answer to those questions is no. So,
yeah.
So the idea, she said, but if we would do those things, if we don't do those things, that Russia would spread her errors around the world. In other words, that totalitarian communism, socialism and communism would spread. And of course, they spread to China.
Right.
In a big way. What's interesting is Yves DuPont, reading these prophecies from all these saints, and he died in 1974. And it's just, I was just kind of looking over this stuff. And I'm not a big prophecy guy. You know that, Terry. I'm the no-nonsense Catholic.
Right.
Like, if it's in the catechism, then it matters to me. But it's just interesting that he said, based on his interpretation of all of these prophecies and you know, coalescing them into a single narrative, that he expected that it would be Chinese communism that would take over the United States and would happen without a shot being fired.
Now that's prophetic.
Entirely through propaganda and ideology.
Well,
and you know what? And it's the Chinese too. They did the Chinese communism differs from Russian communism in this, that, you know, the traditional communism of the, you know, the proletariat and you know, the labor versus capital, and it's economic.
Right.
Whereas in China, it was social.
Exactly.
They had to get over thousands of years of tradition. And so it was all about destroying people's connection to their past.
That's right.
And, you know, golly, Terry, the 1619 Project, you know, is anybody saying, let's rewrite our history? Let's tear down the statue?
Of course.
Let's
You nailed it.
If you forget your history, then you're doomed to repeat it.
And, you know, that's the whole point, even in the 1936 Spanish Revolution. They knocked down all the statues. They ruined the churches. This is a game plan that has been used over and over again to make transitions from one government to another.
Even the French Revolution.
There's another one.
Reign of Terror, yeah.
Reign of Terror, good point. Yep, this is all. And then this article talks also, Matthew, that how the pandemic has weakened everything. But also, he points out that in China, you know, they have their own search engines. We have Google, but their search engines, we complain about search engines and Google and
censorship and whatnot.
Yes. You should see what it is in China. Are you kidding me? You're being fed whatever the government wants to be told you're going to get. And so I just think that we have to be aware of it and pray for the conversion. I can tell you this, Matthew, I know for a fact there are so many Christians in China, Catholic and Protestant, who are underground, who are not going along with the government, you know, patriotic church, and even are so disappointed with what the Vatican has done with this deal, secret deal. It's not transparent, but the point of it is they're changing, the patriotic church is changing things like the Bible to reflect the government's position on things, parables to change. It's horrible what they're doing in China. So we need to pray for their conversion.
Amen.
Where you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero. We're going to come up with something that's going to be evidence emerging that the COVID tests are faulty. FDA and the CDC admit this. We'll be right back with much more.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry and Matt Arnold filling in for Jess Romero. Matthew, I mentioned earlier in the show about your DVD called The Miracles of Jesus. So if people just tuned in, we're going to give that away. We can, if you want to make a little donation, that would be grand. If you can do that, that'd be awesome. You can call 877-526-2151. It's a one-hour DVD that explains the different miracles that are in the Bible regarding Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful imagery. It would be a great Christmas gift, Mom, Grandma, for the kids. You think? Call 877-526-2151. Matt, I'm out of breath. I'm feeling a little better, but my next topic is that there's an evidence emerging that the COVID tests are faulty. Now, this isn't me saying it. It's the FDA and the CDC admitting this. These lockdowns around the world are based on rising numbers of positive test results, many of which are likely to be incorrect. So let's just do the math. If if we got 100,000 people who say that, you know, they've been diagnosed with the COVID-19 and 50% of the tests are not accurate, oh, we just cut the number down in half.
Right.
And so it just seems to me, you know, we've heard these stories where, as I mentioned earlier to you before the show, people have called us who are listening right now who've told me, I went to make an appointment at the CVC drugstore to get a COVID test for next week. And when I didn't show up, 2 days after my appointment, they sent me a notice saying that I'm positive for COVID-19, but I never even went for the test.
Well, you know, something similar happened to my beloved wife, Betty. And this is weeks and weeks ago when, you know, the mask wearing and all that stuff was first a thing. And she, you know, had a tooth that was getting sensitive to the cold and whatnot and went to the dentist and said, well, you need a root canal. Now, the way the insurance works now, the dentist can no longer just give you a root canal. They have to send you to a specialist and get them to say you need a root canal, and then she'll send you back to your dentist so they can give you a root canal. So on the appointed day, we went to see the oral surgeon so he could tell my wife that she needs a root canal that she already knows she needs. And they pulled up her medical records. I'm sorry, I'm working with rented lips.
Okay.
Her medical records to see that it was her, you know, your last four digits of your social security number, your name, your age, your date. And it says, oh, it says here you've tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, get out of here.
She has, no, that's my, you know, honest. And she, of course, had never been tested or asked for a test or anything, or even been offered one.
That's funny. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I'm going, well, you know, you need to change that because my wife has not been tested for COVID-19. But that's the thing. I mean, people are clearly fudging the numbers. But what this article is about, they're talking, and it's, and I don't really claim to understand it. I'm not a statistician.
No.
But they're talking about something about called prevalence. And
yes, prevalence.
How it needs to be factored into the equation. And they're saying that, you know, if you could test 100% of people, you know, and 80% of them came back one way and 20% came back the other way, you'd still have to use this other factor to determine how many people who had tested positive really had the disease. And he's saying here, and this is from the FDA.
Yes.
Says, for example, a test with 98% specificity.
You said it.
Would accurately screen over 80% of the population with 10% prevalence. So more than 20 out of 100 positive results would be false positives.
Right.
And then he goes on, in a population with 1% prevalence, and there isn't a population that has that many actual cases anywhere that I'm aware of. Only 30% of individuals who test positive would actually have the disease. And so the Center for Disease Control has said, you know, that antibody test shouldn't be used to determine if somebody returns to work.
Right.
Right? Or if you should gather at schools or dormitories or prisons or, you know, restaurants or whatever. It says people who receive positive results, and this is a direct quote from the Center for Disease Control, people who receive positive results on an antibody test but do not have symptoms of COVID-19 and have not been around someone who has COVID-19, may have COVID-19, are not likely to have a current infection and should continue with normal activity.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
That's from, this is from, you know, the people follow the science. Well, this is what the science says.
Yeah.
You know, and what are we doing instead? Yeah. And particularly in your county of Los Angeles, things are getting particularly draconian again.
It is. It is.
You know? And that's the other thing, too. It's like, I don't, you know, with all due respect, with great sympathy to those who have contracted the disease, suffered from it, have died from it. You can't govern based on. Well, let me tell you a story. Do we have time for a story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, quick story.
Tell us.
It goes. This one's older than the Bible. This one goes back to Aesop.
Okay.
The story of the dog and the wolf.
Oh yeah.
And it's a wolf, and he's and it's my paraphrase, but he's walking along in the woods one day, and he comes across a dog, and the dog says, "Oh, cousin, you look hungry. You look a little peaked." And he says, "Well, yeah, things are rough in the woods." And he says, "But you look well-fed." And the dog says, "Oh, yes. Well, I live with a man and his family. And they give me everything I could want to eat. And they give me a place to sleep with a roof over my head. And they give me affection. And they play with me. And sometimes the master even gives me the food from his own plate."
Mm-hmm.
And the wolf says, "That sounds pretty good." And he says, "Well, you know what? I'm sure there's room for one more. Come home with me." And the two of them are trotting along the path. And then the wolf notices something. He says, "Cousin, what's that around your neck?" And the dog says, "Oh, that's my collar." And the wolf says, "Well, what's the collar for?" And the dog says, "Well, at night, the man chains me up so that I can't leave the yard." And the wolf says, "Well, on second thought, I think I'll go back to the woods." And the moral of the story is you do not give up your liberty for security.
Exactly. Well,
and that's in,
yeah,
this,
that's
in,
you
all the way back to, you know, in the centuries before Christ.
Yep.
And one of our own founders, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember which one. I'm inclined to say it was Benjamin Franklin, but it may have been another, who said, if you, you know, a person who is willing to trade liberty for security doesn't deserve either.
That's right.
That's clearly, and again, we were talking about trying to erase history.
Yep.
Because people repeat it. Well, look at the example of history.
Yep.
Every time people have traded their liberty for security, they wind up the victims and then the slaves of the people who are supposed to protect them and their interests.
Well said. That's a great story, and it's a great point for us right now. Fear is in the air all over the world with COVID-19. And let's just give this the statistics of how many people die. Now, I want to make a distinction, Matt, from COVID or with COVID?
Right.
Okay, from COVID, from what they tell us, the CDC, not me, out of this 150,000 people at the time, they gave 11,500 of them died from COVID-19 only.
Mm-hmm.
The other people, the 90% of the others who died with COVID, they had other problems.
Right.
You know, they had old age, they had heart problems, they had liver problems,
yeah.
All these other issues. And the reason I bring this up is because even today, if you look at the 250,000 deaths that took place that they have on the CDC, they about 11%, if it's consistent, 11% died from COVID-19 only. Mm. And the rest of them died with COVID-19. And I want to just mention one more thing the article didn't bring up, Matt. And that is when you have COVID-19 and you're in the hospital, if you don't have it and they're treating you, you have a different bill to pay. And what I mean by that is if they can identify that you have COVID-19, the insurance government, is going to pay an extra $30,000 to the hospital for treating you. So it behooves them to say, "Well, Mr. Johnson, you got COVID-19 because guess what? We need the money."
Yeah.
And that has been going on for about 9 months. And, you know, you follow the money. And so I also want to give one more statistic that the CDC points out. at 99 point whatever percent, 99, over 99% of the people who get COVID survive, okay? And here's the other kicker, Matt, that this article didn't mention, and that is our kids. they have very, very few fatalities among people 18 and under.
Right.
I mean, and the ones that did die, they had all kinds of other issues with their health. So for us to close the schools down and have this collateral damage for the kids not learning is really putting...
Also, the depression and the,
all that.
Living with constant anxiety. Mm-hmm. You look at the numbers for suicide. We've just gone through the roof.
Big time.
You know, and it's crazy. And a last thing, just regard. I mean, Mark Twain said there are there's lies and damn lies and statistics.
I hear you.
Right? And we're talking now, they're closing things down, entire economies, putting hundreds of thousands and around the country, millions of people out of work, destroying thousands or hundreds of thousands of businesses and so on over this, you know, we have to stop the virus thing, as though we could control a virus in the first place.
Nope.
But number two... early on, they were talking about how many people were going to die. Millions of people are going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, this is so
so
fatal, this disease. And when that turned out not to be the case, you notice they're not talking about deaths or even hospitalizations. They're talking about cases.
Exactly.
And the case, what is a case? Anybody that tests positive.
Well,
and how many people who test positive have the disease? We just found out that it's less than 50%.
Exactly. Well, I'll talk about deaths. 10,000 people every 30 days die of starvation due to COVID-19 shutdown.
Yeah.
That's not getting the disease. That's dying.
Well, see, that's another thing, too, that I think a lot of people are not aware of, the how many tons of grain that we've disposed of, how many millions of chickens were just euthanized.
Yep.
And their carcasses destroyed because, well, the COVID-19 regulations say we can't give these to poor countries where the people are starving to death because they might get COVID.
Right.
Better for them to starve, apparently, than take a risk of getting this ILI, which is a influenza-like illness.
Amen. Well said. When we come back, we're going to talk about religious freedom, not only in France, but here in America. I know you heard about last Wednesday, the Supreme Court decision regarding our Jewish friends in Brooklyn and the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, getting a 5-4 case decision for being able to keep their churches open. And we'll talk more about that. Also, don't forget to pick up the Miracles of Jesus DVD. Here it is. Call 877-526-2151. It's Matt Arnold at his best regarding the your Miracles of Jesus. It's a great Christmas gift for kids and for adults. Call 877-526-2151. Don't turn that dial because when we come back, we're going to talk about religious freedom that affects you, our listener.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jesse Romero, who's out in Tyler, Texas.
I think fiddling was right. Fiddling in. That's actually...
Did I say fiddling in?
That works for me.
Well, filling in. I'm a little under the weather myself, but thank you, Jesus. I always say I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. Matt, we're going to talk about religious freedom. This is something you and I have talked for years about, and saying that we have to really be careful about our religious freedom, how it erodes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this article up about a French high court ordering the government to change this rule capping the attendance of public worship to 30 people. And they're basically saying they're not being treated like other stores or other businesses, and you're picking on, Catholic churches, and you're, kind of making them have to go through more than anybody else.
Right.
And so that's in France. Well, I see the same thing happening, especially in the great state of California, which both of us live in at this present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that in a joking way, but we're not too happy here in California, because we also see a governor of California who has been ruthless regarding our religious freedom.
Well, and I dare say overstepping his authority in any number of ways.
Yeah, and that's why I bring it up, because the Supreme Court decision last Wednesday, 5-4 decision, and Amy was the deciding vote. Thank you, President Trump, for that appointee. And it basically says you can't treat the churches with discriminatory actions. If you've got Walmart and you've got the marijuana shops open and you've got liquor stores open, why can't the churches be open? And so I think this is going to have an effect. I read an interesting article on this, that the decision by the Supreme Court now, this most recent decision, is going to affect some of the churches that are suing the governor in California. And I have to thank our Protestant brothers, Matthew, because they're the ones who took it to the Hill and said, wait a minute, we have religious freedom here. To be honest with you, most of the Catholic churches and the bishops have just said whatever the governor says, we're going to follow and not even question them. But until Archbishop Cordeleon up in San Francisco said, wait a minute, you're persecuting us. And then we started fighting back. And you know what, Matt? It's interesting. When we fight back, we get rights back. But when we don't say a word, they'll take them every single day and just be quiet. So here's my question to you, Matt. Do you see that the Supreme Court decision last Wednesday will affect possibly our religious freedom in the great state of California?
Well, that remains to be seen, because as you say, we have a country planted thick with laws, tens of thousands of laws.
Yeah.
There are tens upon tens of thousands of federal statutes.
Right.
You don't know. No, I don't think any one human being knows all the laws. And it is probably entirely possible for the government to arrest you for something that you're doing illegally that you have no idea that you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, why do I bring that up? It's because it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, we're not even talking about laws here.
Right.
We're talking about the exercise of the office of governor or whatever it might be.
Right.
The legislatures haven't changed the laws. Governors are acting, and even sometimes secretaries of state, even sometimes people in charge of the local health system that are not even elected officials in the first place are just kind of unilaterally making these decisions and imposing them on the populace, which, of course, we enter into kind of a gray area.
Right.
Is this an emergency? Are emergency powers something that can be invoked in this situation? We're not under martial law. They haven't. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
They're proceeding as though they had taken legal steps that have never been taken.
Right.
And that's why the story about coming out of France is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it is. It was just a number of people just saying, well, no, this just isn't right.
Right.
If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
Amen.
We're going back to laws that we learned in Mother Goose and fairy tales, as children. Because right's right, even if nobody's doing it, and wrong's wrong, even if everybody's doing it. And oftentimes all it takes is one person or one group to stand up and bring attention to it.
Right. Matthew, I just want to shift gears because we're at the end of our show. And on a positive note, between late August and mid-November of 1873 in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah, yellow fever.
Yellow fever. Matthew, a quarter of the population died.
Yeah.
Okay. And there were some.
That's a pandemic.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that truly is a pandemic. Now, can you tell us, you've got the same article here.
I do.
People were fleeing a Shreveport for safety. I mean, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some priests there that didn't run away. They ran too. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, it's interesting that this story is framed within the perspective of Father Peter Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Who's down south?
Yep.
And he went to see a woman, 98 years old, has COVID-19.
Yep.
And he went to anoint her, and of course he was all scrubbed up with a mask and a face shield and rubber gloves and the whole nine yards and instructions not to touch this person.
Yeah.
And how can you give the anointing to the sick without touching him? Obviously, he did what he needed to do.
God bless.
But
him.
He said, back when the yellow fever, those priests who were ministering to the people were putting their lives on the line.
Literally.
And there's these five priests, and I hesitate to say their names because my French is so atrocious.
But trust me, they're there.
But it's not a single one of them hesitated not only to go to, but to stay in a place
wow.
where there was an epidemic and go, you know, that it was believed at least that it was person to person transmittable.
Yeah.
Right. And they're going and they're ministering to people and they're giving them the sacraments and they're giving them the last rites. And it is something of a miracle. Now, all five of these priests, they were from France, right? Because, you know, Louisiana was originally
French.
A colony. And so there's a lot of French folks there. And the Catholic Church sent priests from France. And five of them in succession ministered to those people and wound up getting yellow fever and dying from it.
Yep.
So they are considered martyrs for the church. Their cause for canonization
is
active currently. And one of the things about it that is considered miraculous is that each one of them hung on until his successor arrived.
Is that awesome?
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. It's like, oh, no, I'm dying of the yellow fever, but I'm going to keep going.
I'm going to pass the baton.
Yeah, send somebody from France, and then, you know, I'm not going to die till he gets here.
Yep, I love it.
That God's providence would arrange things that way. It is miraculous.
Yeah, and I only give this as an example, and I also said yesterday on the Bishop Strickland Hour that it'll play next week about a young woman just in the summer out in Minnesota. She was swimming in a dam out there, and some children were drowning and needed to be saved. And this 18-year-old little girl, just young woman, she risked her life saving about six of the little kids that were drowning. And on the last time out to swim to save the sixth or seventh child, she succumbed to the water, and she also died of drowning. And I think of this that was 1873 with these priests. I get it. But even today, there are people willing to risk their lives to save a life. And I think that our Lord talked about that very thing. Did he not, Matt?
Greater love hath no man than this, but that he lay down his life.
You got it.
Friends, there it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Terry, there's one other thing, another story I wanted to
bring it up
with you. There's some folks at my parish, Gal was just kind of inspired in regard to opening the churches up.
Yeah.
That she suggested, and they're doing it at my parish, and she suggested anybody can do this, that you gather for the remaining Sundays of Advent on Saturday after the Vigil Mass to go to the church with your rosaries and your candles and stand outside, encircle the church or walk around the church and pray the rosary for the intention of the reopening of the churches.
That is such a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow. Matthew Arnold, I want to take a minute or two to talk about your show coming up right after our show. So let's hear a little bit about, give us a teaser.
Okay, well, two things that are the main things I'm going to talk about are, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the season of Advent and the upcoming readings for the extraordinary form for the second Sunday of Advent and just, you know, how it applies to us. Also, I'm going to talk about the Immaculate Conception is coming up. Feast of the Immaculate Conception is the 8th of December. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Immaculate Conception, but another topic, which is Mary in the liturgy.
Wow.
Not just the feast days and so forth, but the part that Mary plays in the liturgy and even how Mary is present in the Eucharist.
I love it.
So stay tuned for that. And then in the time remaining, I'm just going to the question box. I get a lot of emails and stuff, and some of it's interesting to me, so I just thought I'd share it.
Awesome. You know, I think of the talk Bishop Sheen gave Mary in the Holy Eucharist back in 1976 at the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Not that I remember the exact date. Yes, it was August 16th, actually, when that talk. But what a powerful talk about Our Lady and the Eucharist. So I'm looking forward to hearing that, Matt. I want to also thank all those who have been giving monthly donations to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you want to become, I would hope you would become a monthly donor. Matt, why don't you share with them what they get?
Oh, well, you know, you as a monthly donor, you are, and depending upon where you go, you know, if you can make your monthly donation through Patreon, and there's some perks you can get to, you know, we call it Catholic tchotchke, right? You have mugs and t-shirts and whatnot.
Sure.
But every monthly donor over $25 will get, we give them a code, and you can go to a special page, and there are audio presentations and whatnot, some of them classic audio presentations, some of them the conferences that we do that are, you know, they go out over YouTube, they go out over the app, but then that's it. And we take them down, and the only way you can access them is if you are one of those $25 a month or more donors. And I think that's really valuable. you know, to be able to have access to that stuff and to have access for that. You know, it's absolutely free and open-ended, just so long as you're making that monthly donation.
And if you do it now, I'll throw in Matt Arnold's Miracles of the Jesus DVD for
all right.
free.
Yeah, but again, you got to call.
That's the only way you can do it. You got to call 877-526-2151. Become a monthly donor, $25 more a month. You'll get all those downloads from Dr. Hahn, Tim Staples, Jesse Romero, all those recordings we did for the last 30 or 40 years, plus conferences. And that's as simple as just calling 877-526-2151. You can become a monthly donor by just going to the website also, right? Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org.
Click on donate.
Click on donate. And I want to thank you ahead of time. Matt Arnold, I'm going to ask Jesse this question. You got it down right. Matt Arnold, what state should we be living in?
Terry, we should be living in the state of grace and not the state of confusion or the state of fear.
Really, and that fear comes from not trusting our Lord. And how can we not trust him? Well, I want to remind you, on the Immaculate Conception Feast Day, we have Mass at 9 a.m. here at the chapel. So I would love to have you come. We still have confessions going on every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 3:30 in the afternoon, Sundays at 7:30 in the morning. We have a 7:30 Mass here at the chapel, a 9 a.m. Mass, and a Saturday evening Mass at 5. Love to see if you're here in Southern California. I want to thank all of you again for all the support for Virgin Most Powerful. We couldn't do it without you, and I thank you so much for that. Up next, Matt Arnold here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.